Chapter 89. I don't think it's right, apostrophe said the poor weak invalid. I feel as if I was in somebody else's clothes. I'm all on one side, and you've made one of my legs shorter than the other. There's a bottle in my pocket too. What do you make me sit upon a bottle for? Apostrophe, deuce take the man. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mrs. Camp, drawing it forth. If he ain't been and got my night bottle here. I made a little cupboard of his coat when it hung behind the door and quite forgot it, Betsy. You'll find a ingun or two and a little tea and sugar in his toter pocket, my dear, if you'll just be good enough to take 'em out. Apostrophe, Betsy produced the property in question, together with some other articles of general chandlery, and Mrs. Gamp transferred them to her own pocket, which was a species of nankeen pannier. Refreshment then arrived in the form of chops, and strong ale for the ladies, and a basin of beef tea for the patient, which refection was barely at an end when John Westlock appeared. Up and dressed. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried John, sitting down beside him. That's brave. How do you feel? Apostrophe, much better. But very weak. Apostrophe, no wonder. You have had a hard bout of it. But country air, and change of scene, apostrophe said John, will make another man of you. Why, Mrs. Camp, apostrophe he added, laughing, as he kindly arranged the sick man's garments, you have odd notions of a gentleman's dress. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Lewsome and a easy gent, to get into his clothes, sir, apostrophe Mrs. Camp replied with dignity, as me and Betsy Prigg can certify afore the Lord Mayor and uncommon councillors, if needful. Apostrophe, apostrophe, John at that moment, was standing close in front of the sick man, in the act of releasing him from the torture of the collars before mentioned, when he said in a whisper, Mr. Westlock, I don't wish to be overheard. I have something very particular and strange to say to you, something that has been a dreadful weight on my mind, through this long illness. Apostrophe, quick in all his motions, John was turning round, to desire the women to leave the room, when the sick man held him by the sleeve. Not now. I've not the strength. I've not the courage. May I tell it when I have? May I write it, if I find that easier and better? Apostrophe, may you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried John. Why, Lewsome, what is this? Apostrophe, don't ask me what it is. It's unnatural and cruel. Frightful to think of. Frightful to tell. Frightful to know. Frightful to have helped in. Let me kiss your hand for all your goodness to me. Be kinder still, and don't ask me what it is. Apostrophe, apostrophe, at first, John gazed at him in great surprise, but remembering how very much reduced he was, and how recently his brain had been on fire with fever, believed that he was laboring under some imaginary horror or despondent fancy. For farther information on this point, he took an opportunity of drawing Mrs. Gamp aside, while Betsy Prigg was wrapping him in cloaks and shawls, and asked her whether he was quite collected in his mind. Oh bless you, no. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mrs. Gamp. He hates his nusses to this hour. They always does it, sir. It's a certain sign. If you could have heard the poor dear soul a find and fault with me and Betsy Prigg, not half an hour ago, you would have wondered how it is we don't get fretted to the tomb. Apostrophe, this almost confirmed John in his suspicion. So, not taking what had passed into any serious account, he resumed his former cheerful manner, and assisted by Mrs. Gamp and Betsy Prigg, conducted Lewsome downstairs to the coach. Just then upon the point of starting, Paul Sweetlepipe was at the door with his arms tight folded and his eyes wide open, and looked on with absorbing interest, while the sick man was slowly moved into the vehicle. His bony hands and haggard face impressed Paul wonderfully, and he informed Mr. Bailey in confidence that he wouldn't have missed seeing him for a pound. Mr. Bailey, who was of a different constitution, remarked that he would have stayed away for 5 shillings. It was a troublesome matter to adjust Mrs. Gamp's luggage to her satisfaction, for every package belonging to that lady had the inconvenient property of requiring to be put in a boot by itself, and to have no other luggage near it, on pain of actions at law for heavy damages against the proprietors of the coach. The umbrella with the circular patch was particularly hard to be got rid of, and several times thrust out its battered brass nozzle from improper crevices and chinks, to the great terror of the other passengers. Indeed, in her intense anxiety to find a haven of refuge for this chattel, Mrs. Gamp so often moved it, in the course of 5 minutes, that it seemed not one umbrella but 50. At length it was lost, or said to be, and for the next 5 minutes she was face to face with the coachman, go wherever he might, protesting that it should be made good, apostrophe though she took the question to the House of Commons. At last, her bundle, and her pattens, and her basket, and everything else, being disposed of, she took a friendly leave of Paul and Mr. Bailey, dropped a curtsy to John Westlock, and parted as from a cherished member of the sisterhood with Betsy Prigg. Wishin' you lots of sickness, my darlin' creeter, apostrophe Mrs. Gamp observed, and good places. It won't be long, I hope, afore we works together, off and on, again, Betsy, and may our next meetin' be at a large family's, where they all takes it reglar, one from another, turn and turn about, and has it businesslike. Apostrophe, I don't care how soon it is, apostrophe said Mrs. Prigg, nor how many weeks it lasts. Apostrophe, Mrs. Gamp with a reply in a congenial spirit was backing to the coach, when she came in contact with a lady and gentleman who were passing along the footway. Take care here. Apostrophe, cried the gentleman. Halloo, my dear. Why, it's Mrs. Gamp. Apostrophe, what, Mr. Mould? Apostrophe, exclaimed the nurse. And Mrs. Mould? Who would have thought as we should ever have a meeting here, I'm sure. Apostrophe, going out of town, Mrs. Gamp? Apostrophe, cried Mould. That's unusual, isn't it? Apostrophe, it is unusual, sir, apostrophe said Mrs. Gamp. But only for a day or two at most. The gent, apostrophe she whispered, as I spoke about. Apostrophe, what, in the coach? Apostrophe, cried Mould. The one you thought of recommending? Very odd. My dear, this will interest you. The gentleman that Mrs. Gamp thought likely to suit us is in the coach, my love. Apostrophe, Mrs. Mould was greatly interested. Here, my dear. You can stand upon the doorstep, apostrophe said Mould, and take a look at him. Ha! There he is. Where's my glass? Oh! All right. I've got it. Do you see him, my dear? Apostrophe, quite plain, apostrophe said Mrs. Mould. Upon my life, you know, this is a very singular circumstance, apostrophe said Mould, quite delighted. This is the sort of thing, my dear, I wouldn't have missed on any account. It tickles one. It's interesting. It's almost a little play, you know. Ah, there he is. To be sure. Looks poorly, Mrs. M, don't he? Apostrophe, Mrs. Mould assented. He's coming our way, perhaps, after all, apostrophe said Mould. Who knows? I feel as if I ought to show him some little attention, really. He don't seem a stranger to me. I'm very much inclined to move my hat, my dear. Apostrophe, he's looking hard this way, apostrophe said Mrs. Mould. Then I will. Apostrophe, cried Mould. How do you do, sir? I wish you good day. Ha! He bows to. Very gentlemanly. Mrs. Gamp has the cards in her pocket, I have no doubt. This is very singular, my dear, and very pleasant. I am not superstitious, but it really seems as if one was destined to pay him those little melancholy civilities which belong to our peculiar line of business. There can be no kind of objection to your kissing your hand to him, my dear. Apostrophe, Mrs. Mould did so. Ha! Apostrophe, said Mould. He's evidently gratified. Poor fellow. I am quite glad you did it, my love. Bye-bye, Mrs. Gamp. Apostrophe waving his hand. There he goes, there he goes. Apostrophe, so he did. For the coach rolled off as the words were spoken. Mr. and Mrs. Mould, in high good humor, went their merry way. Mr. Bailey retired with Paul Sweetlepipe, as soon as possible, but some little time elapsed before he could remove his friend from the ground, owing to the impression wrought upon the barber's nerves by Mrs. Prigg, whom he pronounced, in admiration of her beard, to be a woman of transcendent charms. When the light cloud of bustle hanging round the coach was thus dispersed, Nadgett was seen in the darkest box of the Bull coffee room, looking wistfully up at the clock, as if the man who never appeared were a little behind his time. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.